Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with
Dan,
Chris,
Lee.
You're singing again.
I am. I don't know why. I just like to sing.
So. Is it because you're so happy that Formula One's back?
Yes, it is. It's back for 2016.
Yeah, we're going to be saying testing that much. This is going to sound like one big long sound check.
Testing. Testing.
And the testing, one, two, three was?
Testing one was Sebastian Vettel. Testing two was Lewis Hamilton. And testing three was Danny Ric.
That really sounded local radio.
It was supposed to.
We won then.
Yes,
we are local.
Oh yeah, that's true. It's a local podcast, but no, it's not. We've got more listeners than locals now.
Hello, we'd like to welcome all of our new listeners because you guys are awesome. Thanks for downloading and/or listening to us on whatever it is you're listening to us on.
Yes. We just want to say thanks because last week's episode was it got over 900 downloads for the first time, which
is great for us.
Yes, thank
great
you very much.
Let's keep growing those numbers.
So, let's talk about what's happening now instead of what happened last week.
Yeah.
First day testing in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. McLaren managed a lap, and then
McLaren managed 84 laps. I think they're not looking maybe as strong as some Jenson Button fans had hoped, but...
looking at least evens.
But looking pretty good. Looking a lot more reliable than last year, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the disaster that they had on the first day of... let's just rephrase that. The disaster that they had, which was last year... Started on the first day of testing. I mean, this year's already stronger than last year for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Interesting what they're doing with their power unit, though. What was it?
Interesting or crazy?
Or stupid.
There's a thin line between stupid and very clever,
genius,
according to
yes.
Nigel Tufnell.
Yeah. Yes.
Or it's just like a insane development curve they've got going on.
Yeah, Dan, I think you explained it pretty well to me before. I didn't really get it until you explained it.
So, the first testing session is going on at the moment, and they have an engine package for that. Then the second testing session is coming up in 2 weeks' time, is it?
Sometime towards the end of next week, I think, isn't it?
Something like that. And they're taking a different package of engine bits and bobs to that. And then come the first race, they're going to say, well, we liked that one from the first testing session, that one from the second testing session. Let's mash them together, see if we've got an engine that works, and test that on the first day of racing.
That's either going to work really well or not.
McLaren are a team that thrives on data. Their approach to everything is always...
Maximum information.
Yeah, maximum information. What does the data say? What does this tell us about what it can do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them allowing Honda to be like, you know what, lads, we've got two engines, we're just going to give it a go and just see what happens, you know.
And we'll try one, try the other, and then squish them together.
Yeah. It's obviously going to be measured, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
It's going to be
a measured approach.
Yeah, you can't see Ron doing anything, allowing anything other than that.
No.
Sounds like they've got too many upgrades to try in one go.
Possibly.
Yeah, and they've just got to split the upgrades.
And it could also be a case of they know they're going to work, but they don't know in what combination, and the simulator can only tell you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, don't forget, if you throw a load of upgrades at something and something goes pop or all of a sudden it's slower, you then stood there looking at it going, what was right and what was shit? So,
yeah.
So I think taking this kind of approach, they've got nothing to lose after last year.
No, they haven't.
They
have £25 of my money to lose.
Yes, bet responsibly, did you?
I went each way. I fancy if the car was good enough, a McLaren driver maybe scraping third in the Drivers' Championship.
Yeah, you do know each way bets at most of the bookies only cover first and second place, don't
no,
you?
No, Sky's podium. Sky's top three, I think. I think so.
You think after you put the bet on?
I was going to put the bet on anyway.
No.
Yeah, it could be sandbagging, of course. It is testing.
Well, not necessarily sandbagging. They might not be testing for out-and-out lap times.
Yeah, exactly. It could be system testing and making sure that all the software is reading the correct data that they should be reading.
It did reek of a shakedown day, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it generally does first day of first test, you know? It's one of those things. I mean, Sauber brought last year's car. I don't know why they're even at the first test, if I'm quite honest with you.
To launch this year's livery, which looks remarkably similar to last year's.
Is it? I didn't even realise they changed the livery.
Yeah, they've moved a couple of stickers around.
They've got new sponsorship from IFL.
And they are...
Indian Football League?
I don't know. It could be lots of things. Independent financial losers.
So that's Cyber's new launch. Anonymous.
Yeah, completely anonymous.
Says it all. Chris, you mentioned software. That was a problem that Renault had debuting the new car.
Yes.
Jolyon Palmer struggled.
37 laps, which was the second lowest total of the day.
Mm. And what was he looking like for time?
For time...
He had loads of it.
There wasn't anyone behind him.
Right.
Yeah. So out of the 11 runners, he was...
P11.
Yeah.
So, not a good start at all for Renault,
no,
I'd say.
He was blaming the software, or he was saying that the software wasn't working properly. It's been a bit of a rush job, this Renault.
It has been such a rush job, in fact, that as Lee spotted before, that on the Renault motorhomes, if you look closely enough at where the Renault stickers are, you can see the imprint of the Lotus logos underneath.
I don't think it's just like the imprint that's been left when they've taken off.
I think they've just gone over it, clean over them. Yeah, yeah. They haven't even taken the old stickers off. They've just gone straight over it. So if you look very closely in certain lights, a lot of the Renault stuff still says Lotus underneath it.
And of course, the put engine here hole in the car said Mercedes on it up until fairly recently.
It did.
Because that car had been designed for a Mercedes power unit.
So given the fact that they've not had an awful lot of time, do we forgive Renault for now for being a little bit rubbish with their own car?
I think 2016 is going to be pretty much a write-off for them.
Is it going to be as bad as McLaren's 2015 was?
Not a lot is as bad as that.
Yeah.
But it's not looking like a good start.
Yeah, but don't forget, Christian Horner says Renault are crap.
No, he doesn't. He is not allowed to mention. He says that their power unit is crap.
Yes.
He's not allowed to mention the manufacturer.
If, obviously, as we covered before, Red Bull thought they were going to have VW engines this year.
Well, no, maybe not this year.
Or maybe, well, but going forward.
They thought that they had something in place and then it wasn't.
They thought that they could be rude to Renault.
But the funny thing is...
Get away with it.
Yeah.
If they hadn't have been such twats and they hadn't have started, like, giving engine upgrades back because they simply didn't want to put them on the car, maybe, just fucking maybe, their engine would be all right this year.
Yeah.
If they'd helped their engine manufacturer, maybe... They wouldn't be going, oh, we might be all right mid-season.
Ask not what your engine can do for you, but what you can do for your engine.
I remember the last team that said, we might not win the first race, but we might win the last. That worked out fucking champion, didn't it?
It did.
Wasn't that McLaren?
Yes.
Yeah. while we're on the subject of Red Bull, Danny Ric was their driver today.
Yeah.
Did he have much to smile about?
Third fastest driver, 87 laps. That's...
Decent run in the car.
It's not nice bad. Looking car.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's encouraging for them to be out of the box ahead of Williams.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, I know there's not really much we can read into it, but a second off Ferrari, half a second off the Mercedes.
Yeah.
They're not a lot ahead of Williams. Danny Ric's fastest lap was a 1:26.04.
Mm-hmm.
Valtteri Bottas's was 1:26.09.
How far was he back from the Mercedes?
Back from the Mercedes.
You can hear the maths working, can't you?
We're looking at just over a second.
What I'm thinking, though, is can we really set too much stock in first day of pre-season testing times?
Do we
know what tyres they were running? Do we know what the fuel loads were?
We do know what tyres they were running. Mm-hmm. The top five set their fastest times on the medium tyres.
Did anybody run softs today? I don't think they did.
Yes. Jenson Button, who was sixth fastest, was His fastest lap was set on softs.
That's quite tough.
And I think Pascal Wehrlein's fastest lap was set on softs as well.
So how do we think Red Bull are looking?
Can't really call it, but looking respectable.
They look like they built a nice car. I know we're nice used to saying car. That. No, but it looks like a good,
Formula One car. In very Adrian Newey style, it's different in very subtle ways, but it looks good. It does look like a good form. I think in years to come, when they look back on classic liveries as well,
this might be one.
I think
it's the nicest looking car on the grid.
The start this of the matte finish era.
Yeah.
Yes.
As our resident paint expert, Lee.
Yeah. I think Formula One cars use Sicken's aerodynamically efficient paint. And it costs somewhere in the region of £500 a litre, I believe.
Aerodynamically efficient paint?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, yeah.
How so?
Lightweight.
Yeah, it's lightweight. And
I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before, but when Jaguar launched, they couldn't have the exact shade of British they wanted, which was British Racing Green, because the paint was too heavy.
Yeah.
So they had to compromise and have a slightly lighter colour, which was a lighter in weight.
Which reminds me of the story we've also told about the Jordan with the metal flake paint.
Yes.
The metal flakes in the paint added too much weight.
Yep, so we had that god-awful mustard colour Jordan until they developed a paint that was
gold,
light enough to make it look gold.
I'd also hazard a guess that when you spray it on, it probably doesn't have quite as much orange peel sort of as a normal car, so it probably creates less drag. As a normal paint, so it probably creates less drag.
Mm. I know about orange peel as an automotive enthusiast.
Me and Dan are both techies, and we're going, isn't that what's on the outside of an orange?
Yeah.
It is, funnily enough, and it's an effect that happens to paint over time if it's not been applied particularly well.
Every day's a school day.
Yes.
Or if you're Christian Horner, a first day back at school day.
Yes.
You know the distortion when you look at the reflection of it, reflections in like cars, and you can see that distortion in it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the orange peel that's making the distortion.
I just thought it was because you were looking at a curved surface.
No.
All right, okay.
No, it's fruit.
Speaking of fruit, how do we think Nico's going to get on?
Whoa! Womp, womp. Well, Mercedes did manage, it was 156 laps today with Lewis Hamilton.
Something ridiculous like that.
Which was more than they did last year. And I think when we did a podcast last year, when we first started doing it, we were lauding Mercedes for doing so many laps on the first day of the first test. It was it was just ridiculous.
Lewis did more laps this year than he did last year on the first day.
Yeah, but I think it was Nico who drove on the first day last year, but the sheer distance that a new car can cover on the first day of testing is just...
Yeah, I mean, race distance at Barcelona is 66 laps.
But he did two Barcelona races.
But what does this mean? Does this mean that the technology's moved on to a point where, you know, it's so stable, or is it because Formula One isn't pushing the envelope of technology anymore?
No, I think that Mercedes are in that good a place that they can just hammer out any reliability issues by going and doing lap after lap after lap on the first day and just showing how good they are.
Yeah.
And I would prefer to be, if I were a Formula One driver, I would prefer to be in the car that can go out and do the second fastest time.
I know what you mean, but is it
56 laps?
But we're looking at cars which are slower. So does that mean that the force and strain isn't on the cars like it used to be, which made them blow up and fail all the time?
Or they are dealing with the amount of force and strain better because of technological advancements.
Yeah, but in that case, then I think there should be... I know what you mean, but I don't think so. I think it's because
the teams are trying to reduce waste.
Yeah, but I think it's because Formula One's in such a comfortable zone where we were talking before about how we don't really get much innovation on the cars anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, that I think comes down to the regulations and the big regulation change that may or may not, and we'll discuss this later, could be coming in next season. Because...
Tell you what, add 3 seconds two or three seconds onto the lap times in 2017 and you'll start seeing a lot more mechanical failures again.
But everything that we've seen and read today, when drivers and teams have been talking about the new car, mm-hmm. they've used the word evolution. It's an evolution of last year's.
Well, we've had that word for years now.
Yeah, but is it an evolution of the car? Because if you remember Mercedes, when the 2014 rules came in, there was a big thing about the 2014 rules when it were coming in, because what they'd done when they bought the team in 2010 was they basically evolved the Brawn car for 2010 as a Mercedes car, then they evolved it again for 2011, then they evolved it again for 2012, and then they thought, well, the rules are going to change, so we'll just evolve it one more time for 2013. You're not going forward, and this is my problem with one particular team on the grid, mm-hmm. which is Williams at the moment. I'm sort of going off on a slight tangent. I'm not sure they've evolved enough to.
I don't looking at the back end of that car more than looking at pictures of them now. I think it's confusing because the livery looks so similar. I think the back end of that car is massively different.
Every team apart from McLaren has redesigned the back end.
Yeah.
To be far more like the McLaren.
Yeah.
And McLaren have tried to squeeze as much McLarenness into their rear end as they possibly can.
Yeah, McLaren have tried to make it even smaller.
Yeah.
Mm. Going back to the Williams, it's new from everything behind the driver.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't see any differences on the front end of that car.
Dan pointed out to me before, there are some very, very small differences. But there are some very subtle differences.
We've picked out on the Manor cars, they have the vanes on top of the side pods.
Mm.
The Williams has those as well, which it didn't have last year. And there's a few other teams have got those.
Yeah, because we noticed there were those on the Toro Rosso as well.
Yeah.
And the McLaren.
I'm impressed with the Toro Rosso, by the way. The way it looks.
Looks weird.
It looks...
I think it looks weird because they've shoved a Ferrari engine into what was a Renault car.
That's probably... Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. And they probably haven't been able to optimise the aero. So the best way to get around not optimising the aero for the engine was just to cut into it. So they probably just cut into it. So that shape you see on the back is actually just the shape of the engine.
That's it.
Yeah, because it looks like there's no excess on there. There is the engine and the engine cover.
It looks like you've taken a strange shape and stuck it in a vacuum format. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, we're digressing all over the place here, but that Toro Rosso just disappears down to nothing
at
the
back.
Out of all the new cars... You saw the most flaw on that one.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad sign for... I know we're talking about the first test, but I think it's a bad sign for Toro Rosso where they were by the end of the test and where Red Bull were by the end of the test.
Yeah, where did Carlos Sainz finish today?
Carlos Sainz was seventh fastest and only put in 55 laps compared to the 87 laps that Danny Ric put in.
Yeah, so...
But Toro Rosso have got the 2015 Ferrari engine. They don't have a 2016 engine.
That's a good point, well made.
Yeah.
So what they'll have been doing today is just making sure that their software and that engine speak to each other.
Yeah.
That smacks of shakedown to me. Well, with that amount of laps.
You take a car which was clearly designed throughout the year to have a Renault engine in the back of it, and instead of the engine it's supposed to have in it, you've now got last year's Ferrari engine in it, you're fucking screwed, aren't you? Really? That's like the worstest of cases of scenarios.
It is, but it's in the scenario which is completely the opposite to one which I would like to point out. Mm. I may have been completely wrong about in recent weeks.
Is this our new feature? Flood's admission of guilt. It's hardly a past a disaster, but we can...
Yeah, I might have got the Manor thing a bit wrong.
Sinking in the flood, we can call it.
Well, I've seen the new Manor car, as I'm sure many other people have, and we would describe it as a greatest hits car. It's got the 2013, 2014 style Mercedes nose. So it's almost like Mercedes has sold them a nose to go with their engine as well. We've got these, we don't use them anymore, you can have them. The front wing looks like it's been designed by somebody in technology graphics class. Oh, so hang on a second. You put more bits on the wing. Let me just make the wing have more bits! So it's like someone put a staircase on the front of the manor. But having said that, Pascal Wehrlein wasn't last, because we already know who was.
No.
So where did Pascal finish today?
Out of the 11 cars running, he was ninth.
Ninth, and he was what, so 4 seconds off the pace?
We're looking at 128.2s for Pascal Wehrlein compared to 124.9s for Vettel.
So 3 and a bit seconds.
I tell you,
it's not the 5 seconds that we were expecting on podcasts just sat on your iPad.
They were. Wasn't that where they were last year though? 3 seconds off the pace. They weren't. They weren't 5 seconds off the pace last
year. Well, we don't know where they were in testing, because they weren't in testing.
I mean, like last year in comparison to race cars.
They were 3 to 5 seconds off race pace, but of course in testing, not everyone is going to be doing race pace.
They were 5 seconds per lap off the pace in Australia.
Yeah, I still expect them to be last. And Lotus and Salva to be above them.
Don't you mean Malaysia? They didn't even race in Australia.
Malaysia, yes. Yeah. I do.
Yes. Yeah, because Australia, I mean, they turned up and sat in the garage and watched it on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a much better start for them, obviously.
Yeah. Which is exactly what Will Stevens will be doing this year.
So we've all raced in as many Australia Grand Prix as Will Stevens is going to.
Yeah, here we have. This is a fair point.
That's a sobering thought.
That's the type of comment that Vandergaard would be very proud of.
Yeah, he scored as many points as Alonso up to a certain point last season.
Well, unfortunately, Alonso's been electrocuted one more time.
Yeah, exactly.
Allegedly. Well, the BBC did mention that McLaren had a shocking first test session last year, which
was
pointed.
Yeah.
But
they didn't see a low loader.
No,
all day.
No, it didn't go on the back of a single low loader.
Yes. There was no weird gusts of wind either, was there, today?
No, apparently there wasn't. Although there was a bit of a wet track at first, because there were some teams early on going out on wets and inters.
Yeah, but it looked quite dry. I don't know what it was.
Unless they were just testing things at slower speed with the tyres on.
Maybe. I would have thought they just burnt the tyres and ruined them.
Given the TV coverage had the marshals and various officials wearing waterproof ponchos, mm-hmm. I think it had been raining.
Yeah, no one wears a poncho for style, do they?
I do.
Shut that one down. Where do we go from here?
I would go back to the back of the field, 10th place, Romain Grosjean in the Haas.
Team fuck yeah!
Yeah. They even have the obligatory US flag on the side of the car, which
and ironically, the front wing wanted some freedom.
No, freedom is free. It costs front wings for you and me.
The wing didn't fall off the car. The car fell off the wing.
Yeah, nothing wrong with the wing.
Yeah,
the wing was fine. The wing did what it was supposed to do. The car went in a different direction completely.
But as we said before we started recording, it's Grosjean. He's used to driving around without a wing attached.
Yeah, and they bolted. They
could have a new sponsor. They could have NRA on it now. Not running aero.
Well, they bolted the broken part, the failed part of the wing back together, which must have been very new technology for Grosjean to get used to after the sticky tape incident in Canada last year when he was driving for Lotus. Oh, your engine cover's fallen off. We'll just tape that back on.
At least when that came off, Lotus had the right colour tape.
Yeah, now go out and do 200 miles per hour with a gaffer taped.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Hang, are you really sending me out in the car with the duct tape? No, this isn't happening.
Turn around and say, promise me, Ren Roman, if you don't want to get in the car, promise me you're not going to crash anywhere. I cannot. Get in!
Yeah.
So what was the Haas time like? Because it was the big debut today. And
Haas time, 3.5 seconds slower than the Ferraris. And they only put in 31 laps.
I wonder if that was getting used to.
Well, a lot of that was checking the car over to make sure that any other bits weren't going to fall off, the wing came off fairly early.
Yeah, when the wing came off, they spent most of the day working out why the wing came off.
Yeah, when was the last time we
stress tested?
Dallara's make building the chassis, aren't they? Are they doing the aero for them?
Don't know who's doing the aero. I think they've got help from Ferrari on that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's that. Well, think about how long it's been since Dallara have made a Formula One car. It's a few years, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the first BAR was one of theirs.
Was it?
Yeah.
I was going to say over 10 years.
Yeah, I think it would be closer to about 17, because I think that...
first BAR car 17 years ago?
It was
1999. Fuck my ass.
Yeah, I think I might be wrong, but Dallara had something to do with the successful BAR. What happened to that in its first race? Oh, the rear wing fell off.
That was another American team that were going to win their first Grand Prix.
Yeah. Yeah, what was it? BAR were going to get pole and win their first Grand Prix with an engine that wasn't last year's Renault rebadged as a Supertech. Neither car finished the first Grand Prix where they didn't start in pole with a Supertech engine.
And was it
two different liveries?
Was Jacques Villeneuve the one, and he died when his rear wing fell off?
Yeah, yeah, on just about the fastest part of the circuit.
Yeah, that'd be the one.
Yeah. Yeah, so Haas playing it safe, I think, rather than being stupid.
Yeah,
and being team fuck yeah.
Minging car, innit?
Like, it doesn't look very nice. It looks worse than the McLaren of last year before they changed the livery.
Do you know what it looks like? You see, if Manor had done any developing at all, it looks like what Manor should look like this year.
Midland?
Midland Formula One. Yeah.
Between Jordan and Spyker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing to do with the bank, I don't think.
No, that was a Russian drilling operation.
What, the bank?
Yes.
Oh.
No. I don't know. But no, the Haas car, it doesn't look inspiring livery-wise or design-wise.
No, it doesn't. This is going to end in disaster. The cat is currently found. I'm going to sit here on top of all of these trinkets on top of the fireplace.
There is just enough room for a cat.
There is not. This is the problem.
Moving away from Podcat, very aerodynamic though.
No, not really.
Ferrari and the fence.
Yeah, yes. It looked like Sebastian Vettel had accidentally driven through some chicken wire and they just left it on the car.
Apparently that's not a feature they're going to keep for the first Grand Prix.
Well, he was fastest, so why not?
Imagine how fast he'd be without the extra weight of a fence.
Well...
They said drive offensively.
Well, maybe they did.
Bizarre aero sensors, or airflow sensors, or some kind of... There was lots and lots... We saw close-up of it, and there was lots and lots of
wires or tubing. I think it was tubing taking the air from the various points back to some sensors to do sort of
I've got a funny feeling that they're thermal, then. I think I remember seeing something about them being thermal because they've been on the cars a few times over the years. I think it might be something like that.
Yeah, I mean, we would put a picture of this up, but Ferrari haven't given us access to the media section of their website yet, so we can't officially get pictures anyway.
I would just like to point out that we are accredited by every Formula One team.
Except Haas, who haven't given out accreditation as well.
Yeah, Haas, who haven't given us accreditation because they haven't...
They haven't got...
They're not ready yet.
Yeah.
They're not ready for media
people. Yeah, and Ferrari never got back to us.
Pirelli have said yes, haven't they?
Pirelli have said yes.
So we're even accredited by Pirelli. So,
just in case, put up pictures of the tyres, but not the cars.
Yes.
In case there's any Ferrari people listening to the podcast, this whole booking the circuit the day before the test.
Come on.
We know what's going on. We know what you're doing. Yeah. And we don't like that. That's not nice Ferrari. Not modern nice Ferrari, no. That's the sort of Ferrari that's going to bring twat Vettel back, and we don't want him either. No,
apparently, it was for filming, and it was last year's car that they were using.
I don't care, no one else could get this year's cars to the bloody circuit.
Except Haas.
Well, yeah. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, everybody else had to wait outside. Actually wait outside in the car park.
It's such a Ferrari move, isn't it?
It is quite a Ferrari
move. It's like
John Top Ferrari.
Yeah.
Mm. And that had FIA backing as well.
It did.
Yes. But yeah, the Ferrari looking strong.
Looking very strong.
Mm.
I think I know where you're about to go to next. But let's pop back down the grid a little bit. Because we've not mentioned them yet.
It's not a secret.
Oh, we haven't mentioned Force India.
We haven't. Who I think were looking pretty strong.
Especially with who was behind the wheel.
Mm.
Yes, Alfonso Celis, their test and development driver, did the fifth fastest lap.
Yeah, but it's a bit strange, is it not, to put your development driver in for a first test when really you would...
Unless he's had that much time in the simulator that they just thought he was more... He had more comparison for this.
Development driver, right?
He is, but I mean, but Nico Hülkenberg was at the circuit just doing interviews.
Yeah.
Would you not want
Checo some... was at the circuit just doing interviews at first and then buggered off somewhere else.
Oh, did you say he was pictured lounging around the garage?
Pretty much, yeah, for a little while.
How old is he?
Checo Perez or Alfonso Celis?
He's
probably quite young.
I think he's about 19 or 20.
So he's not like a Gary Paffett.
He's not
like
been one of these that's been kicking around for decades.
Yeah. So you can't. I don't. Yeah, I don't believe you can use it as like it's better for the team to have him in then.
Do you think he's paid for this seat for the first test?
Yeah. Probably.
Because the rumours are that Sahara, the company that
the title sponsor, yeah, and title they sponsor. Own something like 40, they own 40-some percent of Force India.
Yes. Rumoured that they are in some financial troubles, and the name Sahara may be removed from the Force India team.
Yes, after watching Ted Kravitz today on Sky, he said that if you look on all the team uniforms, the Sahara patch is the only removable one.
Basically attached with Velcro.
Yeah.
So your suggestion is that Celis
has paid for the seat and that actually paid for them to be at the test.
Yeah,
I guess there's all sorts of tests that you can do that don't involve pushing the car to its absolute limit.
No, quite right. But from a feedback perspective, I think I'd take a leaf out of McLaren's book and probably put Jenson Button in the car rather than, Stoffel van Dorn.
Yeah.
Button is the expert on providing feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly, yeah. I mean, has it been confirmed as to who Mercedes' test driver is? See, I knew that would happen, Podcat.
That is Podcat throwing things off a mantelpiece.
The Mercedes test driver was Pascal Wehrlein last year.
Yeah.
Who is it this year? Do we know yet?
We don't.
I don't think
there's been anything officially announced. And you've got to assume that they're going to be running one.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Bird was the test driver for a couple of seasons, wasn't he? But now he's well engraved in Formula E.
Yeah.
So they got
retired from professional racing.
Sam Bird.
Sorry, I love Sam Bird, actually. I think he's fucking great.
He's quite funny, actually. Yeah, he's got wit. Which is why I wonder if he never made it to Formula One, because he's got a mind of his own.
But yeah, there's been... don't think there's been much of an announcement as to who it is this season.
Right, okay. So we just have to sit and wait and see if one of Mercedes drivers get ill or... wait until they zoom in.
Or throw a strop.
Wait to see if they zoom in on somebody in a garage one day, and then it'll come up with Mercedes reserve driver.
It might well be that they end up with three or four doing various different duties.
Yeah, or maybe Pascal Wehrlein is their reserve driver, just in case, and they'll have a test and development driver.
Mm. There is every possibility. I'm just frantically going on the internet to see if there's anything, and I cannot find a thing.
Yeah, I don't think they've announced anything just yet. But that's we digress slightly from the matter at hand.
Mm-hmm. And that's somebody retweeting something that I tweeted earlier about Sky putting the wrong caption up.
Now everybody knows what laptop you're using. People will recognise that noise.
In that case, Samsung, hi, sponsorship.
Yeah.
So does that just leave the Ferrari?
That just leaves the Ferrari.
Which left everyone else in the dust.
Completely.
Totally.
Apart from in terms of number of laps done.
Yes.
It's always difficult to tell from the first day of the first test, but Ferrari being quicker than Mercedes, Mercedes doing an awful lot of laps.
It looks the same as last year.
It does, so at the moment.
It's normal service has been resumed from testing last season.
But let's not take away from what Ferrari have managed to achieve so far with this year's car, which looks...
It
which
looks
they've managed
fantastic.
To put some white paint on.
White paint on a Ferrari, yes, as confirmed after our rumours from last week's podcast.
Yeah, and it turned out the...
white paint is faster than all red.
It would appear so. The car itself looks fast.
It's a silly thing to say, I know what you mean, but it does look fast. It looks like a very aggressive approach to developing.
Yeah, now Ferrari is one team that actually hasn't said that this car is an evolution of last year's.
No, because it isn't, obviously.
Yeah. They appear to have just gone back to the drawing board completely and come up with something similar, but...
But hopefully better.
Hopefully better.
Similar, but different.
What do we think we're going to see from this season? Are we actually going to see him challenging Mercedes' dominance all season long?
I don't think there's anything we can say that we've learned today.
No,
but we'll see it.
We can't learn anything much in one day of testing.
But it does look encouraging, doesn't it?
Yeah, what we've learned from the first day of testing is that Ferrari are going to win the World Championship and Lewis Hamilton will drive all day if he needs to.
So we'll see Lewis. We won't see him in Le Mans this year because obviously it clashes with Baku.
Yes.
So we won't see Hülkenberg in Le Mans this year.
How many days of testing? Is it 3 days or 4 days?
4 days.
4 days. So we'll probably get a better deal then coming from. Like the last 2 days, won't we? You know, once Button gets back in the car and Alonso the day after and stuff.
Well, Button's running the first 2 days and Alonso's running the third and fourth.
Oh, are they not swapping?
They're not swapping,
no. Oh, right, okay. Well, that might be quite good then.
Yeah, I think Mercedes are swapping. I think Nico's in the car for Tuesday and then Lewis back in on Wednesday.
And then starting the weekend early as he likes to.
Probably, yeah. As soon as he's out. He'll be out of the car on Wednesday and back to LA.
And into a bar.
Yeah.
I think Lewis likes to start the weekend usually about first thing Monday morning.
Is Kimi in the car tomorrow?
I think it's Seb again and then Kimi's doing the Wednesday-Thursday sessions.
Because Kimi might be a good indication of where that Ferrari's at. You know, if he's up there...
If he's setting hot laps
kind
of in the same vein as Vettel, then yeah, that would show it was a very hot car.
Yeah, because of course Kimi likes to have a car designed around him, and if he's going to get the best out of it, so we'll definitely know more Wednesday Thursday sessions.
Yeah.
One thing we did find out today: Bernie knows where the bodies are.
This is not really related to testing as such. I mean, he said a couple of strange things in these last few days. I'll just gloss over the
last few days.
Well, last few decades.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm just gonna gloss over the first one, which is he's obviously politicising for this meeting in Geneva this week to decide the 2017 rules, where he said Formula One is the worst it's ever been. It's never been as bad as it is now. We know that he doesn't believe what he's saying, but that's compared to what we're actually getting to is nothing, because
oh, he bigged up Putin again.
Okay, well that's up to him. He has to do something for Anglo-Russian global Russian relations. What he's basically insinuating is that he may have killed people in the past to get his own way.
His exact words were, "I've had to take a few people out." Sorry.
No, wait a second, hang on. No,
that's only part of the quote.
Yeah, it's only part of the quote. You need to give him the whole quote, because otherwise... otherwise we might find ourselves in some trouble.
Those were his exact words.
There were more words.
I can't have the rest of the context before any nasty accidents happen to us.
I've had to take a few people out and show them a few graves.
there's still room there.
I don't think that's any better. That's adding more words made that much worse.
At least it's all of what he said.
We have to quote him directly. No, but if he turned around and said, I've had to take a few people out for light lunches, maybe to the cinema, that would have been fine.
Yeah, and then to show them some graves. Because there is still room. But he didn't say that. He said...
Took them for a nice tour around Highbury Cemetery.
So what do we think he means by that?
Common thinking is, what he means by that is he wants...
Toto, wind your neck in.
And he wants reversed grids. The top 10 to be reversed. Yeah.
Well, I don't mind that. I think.
Yeah, but are we then going to see teams sandbagging for 10th place?
Yeah.
No, because then they're still going to be losing, aren't they? You know, they're going to be losing the...
Until you give points for qualifying, that's never going to happen.
Mm. Yeah, ten points for qualifying fastest, but you start in 10th.
Yeah. No, but surely if he's lobbying for reverse grids, there must be talks of having a second race.
No, he just wants reverse grids.
Which does make sense in a way. Fans like to see overtaking.
Yeah.
If you start with the fastest car... in front of all the other cars.
Yeah, but it's...
Then you don't get a lot of overtaking coming out of that.
There's an... Martin Brundle has said something... He said it quite a few times on the television, where he said, what we do is, on Saturday, we get all the cars to go out, then on Sunday, we line them up in the order that they were all fastest in, and then we're surprised that they don't overtake each other.
But there's got to be some payoff. There's got to be some benefit... to going fastest in qualifying.
I don't believe if we have reverse grids, I don't believe it'll be just for the feature race on Sunday. I think it'll be a short qualifying session for a sprint race on Saturday, and then a reverse grid from the order that the sprint race was won in on Sunday.
We've talked about this before. Decided that it would be,
but I don't,
kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Was it Johnny Herbert that put that forward originally?
It would make more sense, but it would also potentially cost more. They're trying to keep the cost down.
But there's cars there that I've already done. I know it's sort of screwing on my own point. They've just done two Grand Prix distances in testing.
Well, Lewis Hamilton's done, what was it, 66 laps?
Yeah, so the cars are obviously capable of doing the mileage.
The increased cost isn't going to be as much as it could have been potentially now that Maldonado isn't on the grid. But if that's what they want for next year, that's when Maldonado wants to make his comeback.
And don't forget...
You've got a chance of having 10 cars, or 9 cars going faster than Maldonado that have got to try and get past him and live.
Don't forget you've also got...
Esteban Gutierrez.
You've got two races. That means you've got two race day tickets. That means you've got more people coming to watch the race on Sunday. You've got more eyes on the television. You've got more television money coming in. So I wouldn't mind it. If what they're proposing to do for the sport brings more eyes to Formula One... then the teams will be more than reimbursed.
You've got a half-hour race, that's more marketable to people who can't sit down for
two and a half hours
to watch the racing.
Mm-hmm. I hope there's something like this. I do hope that Formula One doesn't bottle on 2017.
No, it needs to... Also, something worth pointing out, I don't know if we mentioned it, I don't think we did mention it in last week's podcast... Red Bull are designing an alternative to the Mercedes Halo design for 2017.
No, we missed that last week.
And they intend to put it forward less of a halo, more of a roll cage, apparently, sort of design. But it's obviously just going to be put forward and everybody has to agree to it before anything happens. It was just worth mentioning that's something that the team is doing.
Yeah, because of course that's going to be on the agenda in Geneva tomorrow as well, because it's the full 2017 regulations meeting.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a few more of these before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Well, coincidentally, I think what Bernie Eccleston was saying before, what I read from what your quote was when he said I had to take people and show them a few graves, do we not think that he might be referring to old failed things,
the graves of bad ideas, right?
A1GP and stuff like that, you know, anything that didn't evolve and didn't move. Do you think he thought that? Because I think he was trying to be a gangster and basically like, look, if you don't adhere to my ways, here are all the people I've gotten rid of from the sport because they didn't agree with me.
No,
that's how I took it.
That's how I read it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of examples of...
I've took it as Formula One.
People who aren't involved anymore.
Max Mosley, although he did that himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Most of Brabham.
Yeah, in fact, there was a load more people involved with him doing that to himself, wasn't there?
Oh,
well, there was someone who tipped off a Sun journalist.
If he'd just done it to himself with his eyes closed, he could have saved all this bother.
The whole Fita Foca war, everyone that was involved with Fita. So,
Fota
with the Formula One Teams Association, which then involved into the Constructors Association.
Yeah, that's
it. He set up and runs.
Yeah.
So everyone that didn't agree with his... or Brabham's point of view...
Were out. Yeah.
Whatever happened to Balestra.
Exactly, Jean-Marie Balestra.
Yeah.
And also, then you had Brabham... We're going back very far. Brabham were allowed to do lots of things. And then when Eccleston took over the marketable Formula One as a company, no, we're going to restrict teams from being this innovative now. We're going to have lots of tight rules and things.
Yeah, there was the season where Tyrrell were the only team that didn't sign up to a turbo engine and suddenly found that they were breaking some obscure rule, and they got all their results nullified and found that they didn't get any travel allowance for the following year and had to pay all their own costs.
Wow.
Yes.
Would that have been Tyrrell's last year?
No, it wouldn't actually. It was back in the first turbo era.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So, no, he does know where the graves are in those terms.
Yes, he does.
The only thing I would say here, I know we hate on Bernie quite a lot and for quite good reasons, but with this whole power grab thing going on in Formula One, it needs to be whoever, if it's Bernie or if it's Bernie's successor, it needs to be them that gets hold of Formula One. Because if the teams end up having their way and they get control of Formula One, we need to find a new sport to start talking about. Because you can't have the inmates running the asylum.
I know what you mean, but...
There needs to be somebody stood above everything.
There needs to be somebody, not independent as such, but...
Yeah, totally independent, and it should be a case of, there are the rules to our formula. If you would like to enter it and adhere to those rules, then there you go and sign here.
Not technically, that's Jean Todt, but...
No, but it's not Jean Todt, though. He's overlooking the... He's overseeing the FIA. You know, it's not...
Who?
It's
the sanction Formula One.
Yeah, but it's not him that should be running the show. Because he's here. Because don't forget, the FIA isn't F1A. It's for all of motorsport.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ferrari.
Well, yeah.
Ferrari International Assistance, I believe, is
that. Yeah. Yeah, but the FIA are the ones that are meant to make the rules for every class of motorsport, mm-hmm. or to ratify the rules. Formula One appears to make its own, run by the teams, and again Ferrari, because they're the only rules that get put through. Are the ones that Ferrari don't disapprove of.
Well, you see, I mean, that's the... Straight away, if you were in charge of Formula One, you would take away Ferrari's power of veto. It would be unpopular.
But because of the way that the Constitution's written on the Concorde Agreement, it had to be agreed on by all the teams. And guess what? Ferrari didn't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was an agreement put in place a long, long time ago, wasn't there, about the...
But you should. I mean, that's ridiculous. You can't. You need a unanimous agreement, and by every team, and one of the teams that the unanimous agreement is supposed to be about. That's fucking rubbish.
Well, I think it's proved that the inmates have been running the asylum for quite a while.
Yeah.
First Enzo, then Luca.
Do you know what the funny thing is for me? I've always thought this. I know there's been an. Like a big big panic of Formula... Ferrari have threatened to pull out of Formula One before. Every few years. Formula One would go on without Ferrari. It would lose. It would lose some fans. Of course it would. It would lose your Tifosi purists that essentially watch Formula One for Ferrari.
But
it would go on. It wouldn't fail just because there wasn't a red car on the grid.
The problem is with the historic payments and rules that benefit historic Formula One teams. There is no greater historic Formula One team than Ferrari, who have competed in every single season since the sport was formed.
Yeah.
They are the only team to have competed in every single season since the sport was
formed. But nothing lasts forever.
No. Even cold November rain.
Very well put. We're in February.
We're in February.
And it's still
but it's cold. Still cold and rainy.
Yeah, but it's, not, but it's cold February rain.
Yeah, the Isle of Man has only had 4 days without rain since November. I'll just point that one out.
So it's the beginning of November. Come on.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I know. But it's getting back on track. Ha!
Way.
That's a ridiculous... You're going to have to scrap that rule, the historic rule where the powers that be are the teams that have been there the longest.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ferrari have double the amount of seasons in Formula One that any other team, any other engine manufacturer or team has had in the sport, and therefore they get the historic payments and they get the for the world championships that they've won, and also the it is ridiculous that they
I'd,
get
I'd the, also argue that if like Mercedes have just a bigger historic stake in Formula One than Ferrari do, because I'd even argue that that picture of like the old silver arrow is probably more synonymous with Formula One than the pictures of old Ferraris.
But the problem is Mercedes Formula One only traces its as it is now in the grand scheme of things, or the way that the payments are worked out, traces its lineage back to Tyrrell.
Yeah, I realise that.
Yeah.
But no, I'm just saying as far as power plays are made.
Yeah.
You know, Mercedes,
it's the Mercedes car company that are
heavily
involved with the Mercedes Formula One team as it is now.
Yeah.
And it was the Mercedes car company in the 50s that was heavily involved with the Silver Arrows then.
Yeah.
So, to all intents and purposes, it is the same
Mercedes.
Yeah. It's not a Lotus situation where the Lotus team and Lotus group had nothing to do
passed around like a cheap hooker.
Had nothing to do with the Lotus
cheap
racing
hooker
team.
Cheap pipe at the end of a Turkish meal. You mean?
No, I meant like a woman that sells herself on street corner.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, yeah, we put the explicit on here. You can say that now.
Yeah. We are the fastest growing explicit Formula One podcast.
In the world.
After doing some research, I think we are the only explicit Formula One podcast.
We are the fastest growing explicit Formula One podcast.
Number one in a field of one.
Yes.
So when the historic podcast payments come out in 20 years' time, then we can expect Ferrari standards.
Yes.
That'll do us. We got anything else? Because I think that roughly covers everything that has gone on and is going on.
Hmm.
We'll be back next week with
more testing.
Testing.
Round up of the next 3 days.
Mm. Yep, three more days of testing to look forward to.
I imagine we'll probably have more of this 2017 conjecture as far as into
the we will see what comes out of Geneva on Tuesday, which by the time you listen to this may have already happened, depending on when I get around to uploading it.
Yeah, but don't fuss yourself. Don't worry about going and finding stuff like that out. We'll do all the boring bits and we will present it to you.
If you can be bothered waiting another week for it.
Yeah, well, yeah, people are lazy nowadays. Yeah,
fair enough. So, we'll see you in a week. Bye-bye.
Bye.